Because what blocks us is often not conscious. It's below our level of awareness. We need a power that's bigger than ourselves to begin embracing our God-given birthright, to feel whole, to be happy, to be prosperous, to feel joyous and free in mind and body and in spirit. And so if that's what you want, you're in the right place. I hope that you and all of your friends join me here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern to learn how you can begin living the life you've always wanted to live. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I'm a metaphysical minister and holistic life coach with decades of counseling experience, and my passion has always been sharing what I've learned about healing pain, about living a happier and more peaceful life, about clearing the suffering that so many of us are doing. And it's about feeling connected with that divine power that lives inside of us, and how that divine source of life itself can and does heal pain and suffering. I know firsthand how faith in that divine source of life can heal all of our woundedness. So each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, what helps, what really matters. My intention always is to provide you not only with the tools, but with the inspiration to remember your wholeness, to find it, and to live it. Divine Spirit is alive in each and every one of us. I know that, because without it, we wouldn't be breathing. When spirit leaves the body dies. And until then, we have that divine spark of life and the power it holds living right inside of us. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, even where you are. It only matters that you know and begin to connect with that divine source of life. Because of that inner divinity, we have the choice and the power to rise up out of depression, addiction, victimhood, or any other suffering. I know, because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. And so I hope you join me here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM or online at WAIF883.org, as we explore the many ways there are to tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that lives in your heart. It's yours as soon as you claim it. There is never really anything that we need to get or gain in order to experience wholeness or joy or prosperity. There's only stuff that we have to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of already having all of that right inside of us. That divine power is ours to use for all things good, and it arises most easily and fully from humility and gratitude. And so I want to thank you so much for listening, and to also let you know that there is a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and I'd love to hear from you on that Facebook page. We also begin each week with a little bit of music to uplift our spirits, to bring body and mind into a greater harmony, and to let the body move if it really wants to. Because when the body's moving with music, it begins to feel more strongly that divine spirit that is actually animating the body. So we'll be back in a few minutes, and I hope you join us for today's exploration of how to live a happier, healthier, more spiritually connected life. And here's some music to get us moving on that divine journey. Enjoy.
To my right, no reconnection with the faces I see. Thank you.
evil spirits. That, of course, was Kimbaloo and True, T-R-U, which stands for the revolution is underway. You are listening to Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and we are here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on WAIF 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am a spiritual life coach, and we focus here every week on discovering the truth about who we really are and discovering the tools and hopefully the inspiration to live happier and healthier lives. Because what I know is that each of us gets dealt a hand, and we can do with that what we will. And so when we can actually remember that we have that inner divinity inside of us and learn how to tap into it, life can be a very different experience than when we don't know that. And so every week we do different things to let you remember how to tap into the truth of who you are. And today we have a special interview with a friend of mine. Her name is Michelle Anderson. She lives in Fort Myers, Florida, and she is a freelance marketing manager and communicator and a creative director. And she's going to tell us a story about how she sort of got lost from herself because of fear, and, you know, she made some big mistakes, and it put her in a bad situation. But she's come out of it through love and courage, the little bit I heard about this story. And we're going to have her tell us sort of how she made that transition from having made a really big mistake to coming out the other side of it better than she was before, and how she did that. Because I know that when we hear other people's stories, it lets us remember how to love ourselves in new ways, because we all have that capacity. Before we get into that interview with Michelle, I also want to let you know about underwriting here on WAIF. If you have a business and you would like to get your business information to our listeners, then you can underwrite a program on WAIF, and it's very affordable. If you want to talk to someone about that, you can do that by calling 513-351-1538. If you want to underwrite this show, then you're welcome to get in touch with me personally. You can find out how to get your business information to our listeners in a way that's more affordable than you could ever believe. So hopefully you will keep that in mind. So we are going to introduce you now to Michelle, and I'm pretty sure that I have her on the line, and let her tell you a little bit about her story. Michelle, are you there?
I am. Thanks.
You are. Good.
Would you like me to start my story now?
Well, can you hear me okay?
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes, I can hear you beautifully. Thank you.
I was just
telling people that what I know about your story is that you wound up getting yourself in a lot of trouble, and then you wound up getting yourself out of it.
Did both, which at the time I didn't think was probably possible, but I knew I had to do something. And so doing something good sure beat doing some more bad. So I went for good, and it all worked out.
That's wonderful. So can you just say a little bit about how you wound up in trouble and what that trouble was?
Yeah. My story really boils down to what not to do online. And, you know, everyone's on the internet. And I was a corporate marketing director for many years, but in 1995, when my son was born, I decided to become a part-time freelance marketing director, and so I became a marketing manager for small businesses and assisted them in ways that I used to do on a grander scale, and I helped them to stretch their budgets and do all kinds of things from my vantage. And I was doing great, and I wasn't taking over the world, and my son was growing. And I was about 12 years into it when the recession started.
Mm-hmm.
And it set me into a tailspin because I lived in Florida where the real estate market took a real dive very quickly, and all kinds of people had been involved in flipping houses and everything else that happened when things were doing so well in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
of a sudden, most of the kind of work that I did on a freelance basis for realtors and home developers and other small businesses, everybody was batting down their hatches, and nobody was affording anything. And so my business kind of came to a screeching halt.
Mm.
So I looked around, and I said, well, I think I will. And so my problem was I didn't have any work, and so I decided that I would just take all those matters into my own hands. And about the same time, because my business had always been successful with word-of-mouth marketing, and I had never been a big advertiser, all my projects came to me very easily, one at a time, two at a time maybe, from friends of friends who talked about my work and sent people to me. So I was without any work, and I thought, you know, I better figure out what to do. I better reinvent myself. I better get a website. I better get online. And that's how come, basically, I learned what not to do online.
Uh-huh.
So
can you wrap that up in, like, three sentences of what not to do online to improve your business?
So I decided that I was going to show my husband, because my husband was so fearful of everything, and I was such an optimist. I said, well, that's just fine. I will take care of everything, and we'll have money for college, and we'll have retirement and everything. And what you don't know won't hurt you, because everything I'm going to do is going to work out great. And then it did.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of really big problems that I created for myself secretly.
Oh, boy, a secret will always come back to bite you, won't it?
Right. And I have always been a very honest person. And what I finally learned was that the I'll show you attitude was about the time my ego took the wheel mm-hmm. and started to drive me. And I didn't realize that, you know, a spirit-based, thoughtful, mindful person like myself who'd been studying and aspiring to do the right things for so many years could get wrapped up so quickly into something that was wrong, 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 and all of my good efforts went awry.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the moral of the story was I had to speak to my husband about it, and the good news is he let me live. Actually, he's a very good husband, and he was before he let me live, and he actually helped me. I had to ask for his help. I had to tell him what had happened. I had to get up, and I had to go forward, because where I found myself was in a two-part predicament. One, I had spent a lot of money on secret credit cards.
Uh-oh.
To fund marketing programs that were based online. And I deceived my husband by not telling him that I was doing it.
Mm. So, you know, according to David Hawkins, who's one of my favorite teachers, it sounds like when you talked about that ego that you were actually what happened was spiritual pride, which is even more difficult than the typical ego pride, because spiritual pride says, oh, I know it. I can do it. I'll do it, and I'm better than. And so you wound up in debt and in trouble, and it sounds like you threatened your own marriage. Until what happened? How did you manage to stop that downward spiral?
Well, I was honest, and I sat him down, and I looked him in the eyes, and he knew me, and I said, I have really done the wrong thing. And we did it together. He did not. I mean, I had to get up every day and brush my own teeth. But my husband, in like a miracle fashion, was there for me. And we consolidated some debts with 401k money, which we still pay those debts today. We cleaned up. We mopped up. And I started to try to figure out what else I was going to do. And, of course, in that amount of time, it took me 2 years to get in that much trouble. It took me 2 years to walk away from it. And in those 2 years, I learned an awful lot of things.
Mm-hmm. What did you learn?
Well, I had always been an optimist, and I had believed in love for a long time. And I really think I made the connection between the value of my optimism crossed with the value of actually having an absolute faith and foundation spiritually in the power of love.
Hmm.
And so with my husband's love and with my optimism and my own foundation of love, I had to learn a few things. I had to recognize a number of things. For example, that people get up every day and they really do intend to rip other people off. And they are looking for people that were just like me, normal, regular, law-abiding citizens who have gotten tilted. And they're not in their right mind once these folks get to stirring up all of those emotions that make us want to be great. And it's not wrong to be great. It's just wrong to let your ego, or like you explained, let something other than your most grounded self make your decisions. And while I was making those decisions, I would have warned someone else, now be careful, don't let anyone rip you off. But I was the one involved in the miniseries, and I had no idea. And so my husband helped me, and all of that optimism helped me to rise out of the doldrums. And I learned that I had this little pilot light inside that was never going to go out, that at this point, I was in more trouble than I'd been in my whole life since I'd been a kid. And I had not done anything so wrong that worked out so badly as I had with this situation. I let my ego get the best of me, and I deceived my husband, and then we were in debt. And we were in way more debt than we needed to be, and it was in the middle of the recession now.
Mm-hmm.
So we pulled it all together, and I learned about that happiness is a decision. You hear the story, you hear people say, your happiness is your decision. Indeed, it is. I could have done all kinds of scenarios that weren't about being happy. I could have been so guilty that I never moved again. I could have been resentful. I could have blamed it on other people. I could have done all kinds of negative things to try to be happy, and I would have never been happy.
Mm-hmm.
But what had happened, I was honest about what happened. I had to get honest with myself. I put that ego in the trunk. And I closed the trunk shut, and I hope that I never have to make that kind of mistake again. And so then, because I'm an optimist, my basic routine is to make lemonade out of lemons. So I started some lemonade making, and I think the thing I learned was that I have a special gift, and you're always wondering, what's my gift?
Right.
I think I discovered, after all this happened, because it's now been another 2 years, my business is fruitful again. I'm happy. My husband's happy. My son has graduated from high school. And aside from learning that happiness is my decision, I learned that I was an encourager, that through all this, I have the gift of encouragement. I will tell someone after I've heard their story, you know what? It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pursue it this way and that way, and you do what's right for you and all those positive things, I really can say that it's going to be okay.
Right.
I found that I had a real dedication to, I loved being a marketing manager. I loved helping small business people. And because the internet had come into our lives and changed everything about how marketing was done, that without knowing about all of the things I made such great mistakes with, I wouldn't know what I know today, which is just a huge amount of knowledge that will take me forward another decade probably working as a freelance marketing manager, helping people navigate the internet as well as the classic marketing methods that we've all used for years. So I got a kind of expensive education.
Well, when you consider that a master's degree is probably somewhere around $50,000, was it really that expensive?
Uh-huh. It really was. When you add interest, and the loss of everything, when I think about how much money I didn't make and how many programs I joined and how off-kilter I got with my thinking and how I tried to reinvent myself the wrong way, yeah, that's probably a good number.
Yeah. So it sounds like what you're talking about is somehow because you got fearful. Because you got really fearful, then you started making decisions out of that fear place. And so the first and the second and the tenth. It sounds like get-rich-quick schemes you heard.
Write that down. You took that right off my notes.
Yeah.
I got an I'll show you attitude. I got a get-rich-quick scheme mentality in my head, and I decided that what he didn't know wouldn't hurt him, and it all fell apart.
Well, you know, of course it did, because we can't lie, not even to ourselves, much less to someone else, and expect something good to come out of it.
And I was always, I'm honest to a fault. If I try to lie to you and you're sitting in front of me, it just shows on my face. I don't even, my father had a face like that, and I knew about it as a kid that, you know, what I was doing was right on my face. And so I've never been much of an actress. I've been accused of being one, but I'm not really very good at it.
Right. Well, it sounds like what you had to do to get out of all that was you had to find some courage that you hadn't had before, because to suddenly get honest and admit when you haven't been and you've got a mess to clean up and you need somebody's help in doing that, then that takes a lot of courage. Where did you find that courage? How did you bring that courage forward so that you could use it?
Well, I had been cultivating a tremendous faith and spirituality base for many years, and mm-hmm. I had been having this optimism since I had been a very young, impressionable, young single woman. I'd been through a lot. I had lost my mother at an early age. I was 33. I was divorced the very next year. I was actually married the year she died, before she died, so it was I was married, she died, I was divorced, and that 3-year spell was really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually moved that year from one community. I used to live on the Miami side of Florida, and I moved in those same 3 years of total upheaval over to the Fort Myers side. And, you know, later when this happened, this was about a 4-year project, and the one that I dealt with the year I was married, lost my mom, and then I was divorced. The fourth thing I did was I moved in with my father. And I was 35 years old, and I was trying to make a new home for my dad. I didn't think I was superwoman or anything. I just was doing what I was supposed to do. But the most important thing was I got over here and went into a second divorce. And I had been divorced earlier, 10 years prior, in a very short marriage. So I've been through all these kinds of things where, you know, you could become a miserable person
uh-huh.
because dealt it to me wrong, that the world wasn't fair. And really, somehow I had learned not to be a victim. And I started that when I was just as young as maybe 25 years old, you know. And it's not until you're old enough to look back and see what you came through that you understand how valuable the challenging times are for your whole self.
Well, yeah, because you learn so much. You had mentioned when we talked that it was reading The Power of Positive Thinking and The Course in Miracles that really sort of opened you up and helped you develop that positive thinking.
Mm-hmm. I was raised in a good old non-practicing Protestant home. We really, some of my grandparents were churchgoers, but my parents had rejected that kind of thing. And then my mother always had a Buddha on her above her davenport in those days, and she had this beautiful Hotai Buddha above her davenport. He was happy, and that was taught me to be. And then of course the neighbor kids would go tis tis tis. She has a Buddha. But anyway, it all worked out, and it wasn't until years after my mother died that I realized how much she and her mother had set up for me, and you just don't know it until you get old enough, older, and you can see a few decades behind you.
Right.
But I'm here to encourage anyone at any age to keep on going, that there is merit in all of your efforts.
Right. What I'm really interested in hearing a little bit more about is, first of all, what woke you up when you were in the middle of that deceitfulness and that fear and that greed that you were talking about and winding up in this terrible situation? Something had to have woken you up, or you would have just kept going down.
Yes. Well, you know, that idea that some people actually get up at in the morning intending to scam someone. Mm-hmm. I had no idea those kind of people really existed.
Oh, really?
And they got my number. I put my name on an email form that was about making money from home, and then the phone calls started.
Mm-hmm.
They were young, and they were upbeat, and they were professional, and they were really, really shrewd salespeople.
Right.
And they worked hard to befriend me and then make me feel comfortable and to trust them. And each one did it with a straight face.
Right. So you actually had to face your own naivete.
I guess that would be true, because I liked the idea that I was a loving person. And I even liked the idea that I was pretty darn trusting. And, you know, I still am today, but, boy, it was a really rude awakening. And some would say, well, maybe it was my child that did it. It doesn't matter who did it. I did it.
Right.
So all of a sudden, on one of these phone calls, there was a young guy who had finagled his way to using my credit card to sell me $6,000 worth of totally garbage leads that were going to help my online website that they had sold to me in a previous conversation.
Mm-hmm.
A slick. He had my credit card information, so he didn't actually have to have me give him the number again. And later, after I panicked, after I told him I did not intend to buy anything, I heard him laugh at me like somebody in a scary movie. Ha, 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 ha. I don't know if that was scary enough, but he was telling me that it was too bad, and he was almost so arrogant to admit that he had stolen my $6,000 and I was never getting it back.
Wow.
And that was the wake-up call, and I guess if he used that evil laugh, and I said, oh, my goodness. And then everything came crashing down around me, and I thought, wait a second. And then I started putting together the pieces of a puzzle, and I'm not much for puzzles myself, and I had a lot of puzzle making to do there, and so I started putting the pieces of the puzzle together, and I was like, holy smoke. And that within a few days after I tried to get the bank to undo the charge. I did everything I could within those basic means that I had, and I was out of luck.
Wow.
So then that's when I spoke to my husband, because at that point, $6,000 on whichever credit card number this man had and the other debts that I had collected, I couldn't go on with the charade that I created in my head.
Right.
That I was going to spend money to make money.
Right.
And that I was investing everything so that it would all turn into the get rich overnight.
Wow.
And that I wouldn't even have to take my computer. You know, I'd be at the beach and my computer would be like a cash machine.
Oh, wow. So
I didn't really believe that, but that's what I had to believe in order to do those kind of things.
Well, you know, I think that's just a really human thing, first of all, and all of us have been there, done that in one form or the other, and the place to start is to say, okay, I forgive myself for being human. But what a gift that guy laughed in such a way.
Yeah, now it's funny.
Yeah, well,
it's
not even funny. It's like amazing gift
because
he laughed that way, it broke your denial. It broke through the delusion.
Yes.
And you were able to go, oh, my God. And you were able to see the truth instead of staying behind all that whatever illusion you had been behind before.
I don't, you know, I call on my angels to help me. I do all kinds of things that are just part of the whole ether of this world. You know, I'm always a part of the whole galaxy. And I don't know how I got to that position. Well, I do, but yes, you're right. It was an absolute gift that he laughed like that. I have not thought about it like that before, but I completely agree.
Well, he broke your delusion. He just, like, shattered the whole illusion.
And think I had no idea. And so I just want to make sure that I, by sharing my story, that anyone else that could fall into that or who has already fallen into it might hear me.
How did they get out?
How did what get out?
How does someone get out of that kind of hole? You did it. What do you think?
Well, I think it goes back to optimism. I think it goes back to faith. I think it has to do with if you're pursuing things that are made of love and out of the energy of love, mm-hmm. then you're avoiding things like guilt and shame. And sure, I have shame and I have guilt, no problem. But that loud voice in my head that said, you're a big loser now, it had a hold on me, and I had to walk through it. It was like I never went to bed and didn't get back up, but I know some people, you know, when something tragic happens to them, they go to bed, and I don't blame them. And it didn't happen to me that way, but boy, did I wander around in a daze.
Right.
For days and weeks, and I was still participating, and I was trying to decide if I needed to give up marketing completely. That I was a bad marketer, that maybe I didn't, that was my sign. I needed to get out, you know. But the truth was, I knew in my heart I was a great marketer for lots of other reasons.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't let it go. And I thought about taking on a job at the grocery store or, you know, the craft store, the florist, or being an assistant, like a substitute teacher, or something that would just give me a completely new place to go. And, you know, the little light inside of me wouldn't go out, and it still wanted to participate in marketing. And had I not continued, I would have lost all that valuable education that by the time the 4 or 5 years of today occurred, my education is firm. I have learned to take care of myself and other people
right.
so that they get ripped off, so that they don't overspend, so that if they run across my path, I figure I'm supposed to know them.
Right.
And if they're asking me for help, I'm supposed to help them. And if they do, then they're the ones that I can serve and protect from being hurt by the scam artists who are out there to take advantage and to capitalize.
Right.
On where everybody was going, especially during the recession when the internet was at its super peak.
Right. So you learned a whole lot about what you are doing now. You learned a whole lot that you didn't know, and it was a very expensive education.
I became a better marketer, not because I'd made a mistake, but that because of making those mistakes, I had to learn a zillion new things.
Right.
And to take care of myself because I couldn't trust. I'd always, as a marketing manager or director, I had always deferred to experts to do certain kinds of things, like a photographer. Why would I take a photograph if a professional could do a better job, for example? And so I had deferred to professionals, these people on the telephone, and they had fooled me. So then I had to learn that the world didn't work anymore like I had been raised.
Right.
And there were people who would just flat out lie, and that I had to go out there and learn how to take care of myself. And then it was only natural after a couple of years of doing that I said, well, shoot, I can help you with that website. Oh, I can write that for you. Oh, I can tell you how to do that.
Right.
And how it all kind of rolled into the next thing. And I got involved in book writing and book editing because everyone's into e-books now. And so I had a fellow, and I think it's really divine intervention, who a senior guy who someone referred to me, another marketing person that I network with here in town, and they sent me a book to work on, and I got to edit a book and help publish one, and that got me rolling in that direction. And these were the things that were spiraling, and everybody was learning about as I was recovering and had some wits about me again.
Right. So what would be your overall sort of suggestion or a piece of advice to give people to keep themselves from being ripped off whenever fear or that greed of get rich quick, whenever that, because it hits us all. And what would you say to people to help them keep themselves safe from those sorts of scam artists?
Well, on a practical side, never buy anything on the telephone. Never buy anything on the telephone that you weren't going to buy. Never let anyone talk into buying something on the telephone that you never needed.
Uh-huh.
And then on the more spiritual side, do things that are based on good, healthy, love-founded principles. And put that ego in the trunk, slam that trunk shut, and don't let him in the back seat.
Uh-huh. And how does somebody know that? How does somebody know when the ego is in charge rather than the true self or the higher self?
Well, that's where you come in, but I did go through it. You just wake up and all of a sudden you know. And you know, anyone that wishes to be in their highest self and to nurture their best and their gifts and to be a part of the universe and to love God and to all these other positive things, whatever their heart desires on the fight between good and evil, they've picked a side and they follow their spiritual path. If they get off that path, then they're going to be involved in things that they know in their heart and they know in their gut are too good to be true, that aren't going to pan out, that have to do with greed, that have to do with deceit, that have to do with qualities that they never wanted to pursue in the first place.
Uh-huh.
I've been roped in by other nice people who have decided that it's okay because this is the exception. It's okay because, and they'll give you all these reasons, and if it doesn't fit with your original plan, don't change it.
Right. That's good advice.
Stick with what you know. And don't be, it's great to reinvent yourself, but get some help if you're, most people, if nothing else, you can go find a mentor. You can find a counselor. You can find a coach. You
right.
can find all kinds of people out there. And look in your community. Look amongst the people that you already know and admire. And help someone, let someone be your spotter. Because what happened was when I got interested in online marketing and multi-level marketing and those kinds of things, I got exposed to a new kind of education, and it was sales. And it was sales to the nth degree. And, you know, I always knew that I didn't like sales to the nth degree. I hadn't naturally, I hadn't gone there.
Right.
And so I decided to make an exception, and I thought, well, you know, according to these excitable people, I'm missing out. Well,
right.
I wasn't missing. And I lost my way.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, because I think we've all been down that road, and just knowing that you can really get in a bad place and then come back out of it again, I think is inspiring, and it's certainly helpful to me because I've done it. I think everybody's done it. And
yeah.
I really appreciate you sharing your story with us today.
I think it takes just as much work to get in it and that much work to get out of it. And I am so grateful to have an opportunity to possibly reach a little bit different circle of people who could be helped by what I learned and what I went through. Thank you.
Right. You are so welcome. And let's just tell everybody, I told them that you were in Fort Myers and that your business is called Marketing Methods. Is that right?
My business is Marketing Methods, like the way you do things, .net, but it's currently down. I made a mistake, and I took my own website down by mistake. Covered it today. So marketingmethods.net, you can find it. It's a purple, I have a purple icon with a gold piece stub, and you'll find me on Facebook, and you'll find me everywhere else. I go by the handle Marketing Michelle in some circles, and then I'm just Michelle as well.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad to know that you woke up. I'm glad to know that if you hear an evil laugh, and I want everybody to sort of get this, it sounds funny, but I think it's important. When you hear an evil laugh, that's the time to stop and take stock and do something different.
Yeah, and it could even be something in the back of your head.
Yeah.
You know, it could be your angels trying to help you. You don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
The good things are very softly spoken, and the bad things are usually the loudmouth voice.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Well, you know, we are just about out of time here, so I'm going to have to wrap this up. But I want to thank you so much again for calling and sharing your story. I think it's been really helpful.
Well, let me know if your listeners are happy.
Oh, I'm sure they will be. You have a great day, and we'll connect in again later.
Pretty much. Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You so much. Bye-bye. Well, I want to thank everybody for staying tuned for that. I just thought that was really, really helpful. Again, that was Michelle Anderson, a freelance marketing manager in Fort Myers, Florida, who told us how she wound up getting in a lot of trouble from fear and then greed, and then with a lot of courage and love, she got out of it. So I'm hoping that just lets everybody know that there's always a way out, folks. I've been to hell and back so many times in this lifetime. If there weren't always a way out, I wouldn't be here. You are listening to Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. We are here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am a spiritual life coach and your host here every week. And there is a Facebook page for this show by the same name called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And I'd love to have you interact with us on that Facebook page. If you would like some help getting in touch with your own inner divinity and getting grounded and present in your own body, there is a free higher self-guided meditation on my website, which is just my name, louisadyer.com. And you're welcome to download that. It's 10 or 15 minutes, and it will help you get present and grounded. And we are going to close out today with our theme song, which is God Is by Faith Rivera. And I really hope you listen to this and really understand, because I think this is actually what Michelle was saying too, that that presence of God never left her. That inner source of strength and courage and truthfulness, it never left her. She left it because of the fear and then the greed that the fear stimulated. But the minute she was ready to come back and be honest and truthful, it was right there, and it helped her walk herself out. What she didn't say, I don't think, but I heard when we talked yesterday, is her business is now doing better than it ever has before. So it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a dreadful thing, even though it felt like it to her at the time. It was a way, it was her very expensive education, as she said. So, and the reason that can happen and the reason it's never a mistake is because really and truly, no matter what we're going through, God is always there. God is always a part of it. That inner divinity, that's who you are. And Faith Rivera talks about that very beautifully in this song. Enjoy, and I will see you back here next week.